One day I was actually working. I always wanted to own my own business, but I was working in an office doing accounting, and I was also in school at the time, and I was tired of my job and tried to figure out what I wanted to do, and kind of just looked at a few different businesses and said, hey, let's start a cleaning company.
Thank you for being a devoted listener of this podcast, Beyond Clean with Ace, dedicated to healthy, positive, and proactive content to support individuals primarily in the cleaning industry. Are you a facilities manager, a frontline staff member, or a building services contractor and are looking for knowledge that will help you advance both personally and professionally? Beyond Clean with Ace is now in season 7, and speakers have consistently brought us messages which parallel our key focus of providing proactive knowledge. Many times the conversations here go beyond cleaning toilets, windows, and floors, and helping individuals on a personal level. Subscribe and share with others so that everyone's life can be enhanced in healthy, positive, and proactive ways. And now, let's join Dave Thompson, Director of the Academy of Cleaning Excellence, and your host here at Beyond Clean with Ace.
Hello, everyone. This is another episode of, well, Beyond Clean with Ace, as you can see here. We talk about anything and everything in the cleaning industry. And, well, you know, sometimes I get somebody in Florida. Sometimes they're in Maine. Sometimes they're in Alaska. Or, gosh, you know, that's kind of a neat thing about the internet. We just travel everywhere we want to. And today, I'm not going to travel too far from where I am here in Orlando. Joshua, you're just south and on the east coast of Florida, if I remember right.
Yep, about 3 hours south of you guys.
All right. So, Joshua, you're got a cleaning operation down there, Sawgrass. So why don't you tell everybody about everything about you and your business and why are we going to talk to you today?
Yep. So we started about 8 years ago. I started doing everything myself, from the building the business to the cleaning, a little bit of everything, kind of learned as I went. And fast forward to today, we have over 25 employees. We do full service, commercial janitorial, floor care, carpet cleaning, and upholstery cleaning, strictly commercial for everything.
So it started out with just you. How did you get started? I mean, you know what? I mean, now everybody wakes up one morning and says, I want to be a cleaner.
I wanted to start a business. I didn't know what business I wanted to start and somehow landed in this industry.
So we're not going to find out how you did that because you don't even know yourself.
Don't even know. Just kind of happened.
So this wasn't no family prodding or your mom saying you could clean well, huh?
No, literally just one day I was actually working. I always wanted to own my own business, but I was working in an office doing accounting, and I was also in school at the time, and I was tired of my job and tried to figure out what I wanted to do and kind of just looked at a few different businesses and said, hey, let's start a cleaning company. So I started with a buddy of mine. His name is Josh as well. And now he's operating his business in Trinidad and Tobago. And I run the South Florida division.
Whoa. Now I hadn't saw that one coming. So you're basically an international organization then.
Yes, we are. So in Trinidad, we do a lot more like concrete grinding, restoration stuff. Whereas in South Florida, it's strictly more geared towards janitorial.
So do you guys ship stuff down to him down there? Or how do you make something like that work?
It was challenging at first, but it's been pretty smooth. A lot of the equipment has to come from here. So equipment, supplies, chemicals, have to ship it from South Florida to Trinidad, from Miami to Trinidad. And kind of, you know, just been grinding and figuring things out as we go, but been making it work.
So the two Joshuas have two different businesses in two different countries.
Yep, exactly. It's two different businesses, same name, under the same umbrella.
Okay.
They do a lot of, like I said, a lot more different things down there than we do here. But overall, it's same Sawgrass cleaning. We service we have a couple clients that we actually service their properties in South Florida and in Trinidad. So it's been a good fit. It's been interesting.
So what else do you, I mean, you know, I think about it, like what else do you share?
That's about it. We share a lot of our ideas, marketing and everything. We get to bounce off each other, but since it's so far from each other, it's basically two complete different markets. One is on the islands, one is in the state. So it's very, very different dynamic in whether from that location to this location.
So I'm thinking that maybe whenever you vacation, you go to Trinidad.
Haven't been in quite some time. Actually, last time I was there was before the business started there, but I'd like to, so it'd be nice to go there soon.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah. Hey, I was in Bermuda earlier this year teaching some classes, so I understand going to an island, but...
What kind of classes were you teaching over there?
Oh, pardon?
What classes were you teaching over there?
I was teaching our onboarding classes for the government to get people employed in the cleaning industry. I taught classes over there, and the last I know, Joshua, the last time that I checked with them, 9 of the 13 people had jobs.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, and that's what it was all about, right? And mm-hmm. And so that was kind of what I was going for is, do you guys share any employees or training stuff between the two countries?
Not too much, since what we do there is so different from what we do here. It doesn't really work out that way.
Right.
But we share a lot of like our material, our processes and stuff like that. Logistic processes and whatnot, but for the most part, since it's so different, we don't really share too much as far as employees and so forth.
So I guess that's by design. They don't want to do the janitorial, and you don't want to do the concrete.
Kind of just in the Trinidad market, we kind of just fell into it that way. Kind of unexpected. Kind of took a turn and wound up there. Was planning originally janitorial, but they do janitorial, but not as much as we do over here.
Okay.
But it was kind of, I guess it's such a smaller market. Try to do more things over there to try to get more business, as opposed to in South Florida, there's so much business to go around with one thing. You can kind of focus in on one thing as opposed to doing a little bit of everything.
Well, I'm surprised down in South Florida that you're not into like stone care, you know, travertine and marble and stuff like that.
It is something we want to get into over here. Just haven't had time yet. We've been so busy with what we're currently doing. That just hasn't gotten to it, but that definitely is on the list of something that we want to do over here. We get some inquiries about it, and right now we just don't have the expertise to do it. So it would be great to be able to do that in this market.
Well, heck, I hadn't planned on it, but hey, I got a class for that. So hey, maybe you need to come up to Orlando and have a class.
Yeah, it gives me a good reason to get over to Orlando. I'd love to.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I think we've already got 3 people signed up for our next stone class later this month.
Later this month? Yeah, I might have to look into that and see if we can make that work.
Yeah, it'd be cool. I mean, you know, hey, I'm always, you know, and I think that's what it's all about, because I think one of the things that I talk with janitorial services, everybody's been in it for a while realizes that it's all about employees.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, is that an issue on either front for you guys?
It was an issue about, I'd say, a year and a half or so ago. But now we've had no issues finding employees. We pay a little higher than other companies pay. We have flexible hours. What we look to do is try to find part-time employees that have full-time jobs during the day that are looking to supplement their income at night. And unfortunately, living in South Florida has gotten so expensive that people need to go out and find a second job. And it's great to have one with flexibility that they're not stuck working 6 to 8 hours a night. We have people that work anywhere from 3 to 5 days a week, anywhere from 2 to 6 hours a night. So we have a lot of flexibility and good opportunities for people that are looking to earn extra income without taking a full-on job as a second job and something that has a little more flexibility to kind of supplement what they currently make.
Okay, so you mentioned you do a little bit more than other people. Do you mind kind of giving me a range of what that dollar figure is?
Yeah, so we try to start anywhere from our employees average about $14 to $18 an hour, depending on the job, depending on the account and so forth.
So somebody that's, you know, making $18, they would be more specialized?
Yeah, either more specialized, more detailed offices, somebody that kind of moves around and does a lot of different offices as opposed to one location.
So somebody that you that's been there a while, that's got more security clearance for you than.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, those kind of things just don't change, do they?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
So what was the biggest challenge getting started?
The biggest challenge getting started, I'd say, was just doing everything myself and learning from my mistakes. Made a lot of mistakes getting to where we are right now. And
Anybody that's been in an entrepreneur has a whole list of those things, right?
Absolutely. But you got to look at it from the point of view that you learn from your mistakes, and every mistake you make makes you better.
We hope so.
Yeah, you hope so, at least. Absolutely. I said the mistakes we've made have made us stronger as a company and got us to where we are today.
So, you've got 25 employees. Have you broke the $1 million a year?
Getting there. I'd say hopefully by next year we will.
Ah, okay. And I'm sorry, we were talking how many years now?
It's been officially 8 years, but it's been about 3.5 years full time. So before, I was kind of focusing on other things, didn't have my attention fully in the business. Okay. The past 3.5 years, I've been 100% all in on the business and focusing on this, solely this.
Okay, so they I don't know if you've ever heard this, but they say in the cleaning industry, 60% of the businesses never see their 5th year anniversary.
Wow.
You're on the other side of that now. You're over the 2.5 year hump, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. You're nearing the 10 years soon.
Aha. So, hey, folks, we got to check back with Joshua in another year and a half and see if he made it, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I think you've got some plans to make that, right?
Yeah, I think we'll still be here.
So I guess then that goes to what's the question, that everybody says. I mean, here we are. Not too long, we're going to be turning the corner to 24. What's on the horizon for Sawgrass?
Pretty much just keep growing as we are, try to increase our sales, get more janitorial accounts. I'd say the past year for us, we've been getting a lot more of those nice 5-day a week accounts that we've been wanting to get, larger buildings, 10,000 square feet or higher.
Okay.
And we just want to kind of excel at that. We've got better management in place. So have supervisors managing the janitorial at night so I can focus on sales and growth of the business. And we're in the best place we've ever been. We have great structure, great staff, and very happy with my team and hoping to grow with them.
Well, you say 3.5 years. 2 of those years was during the pandemic. That had to be a little rough.
It was actually really good for us. I mean, we did great through COVID. We grew a lot during COVID. I know COVID hurt a lot of businesses and had a bad effect on a lot of industries, but I would say for us, it helped us a lot.
And coming out of it, that's continued to grow or kind of plateaued?
No, continuing to grow. The biggest trouble, the issue that we had during COVID was staffing. It was okay. Very hard to find employees. So that was a huge challenge for us. I would say now we still have that same growth, but now we have no issues finding employees. I put out a hiring ad, and the next day I have, not saying everybody that applied is a candidate, but have over literally in 24 hours, we get over 50 applications on the job posting we put out.
Well, and as you said, you're in an area where the income and the cost of living, what I've heard, although I don't live there, I've heard that it doesn't really match too well.
Not at all. It's like cost of living. It's like California cost with not California income.
Okay. And so that means that they have one or two or three part-time jobs?
Yeah, it's a chat. You have a lot of employees that were not really three jobs, but more, I would say, people that work a full-time job and looking for a second job with us.
So only one part-time job, maybe in a weekend or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Or people, a lot of people we hire, they work in medical offices during the day or work in professional offices.
Okay.
And then they just want to go out, get out of the house, make some extra income. And I think cleaning's a great thing to do. You put your headphones in, you're in a building by yourself, you clock in, you have flexible hours, you go in, listen to your music while you're working. It could be relaxing sometimes. And,
it gets rather routine and monotonous sometimes.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, even today, I don't go out as often as I used to, but I still enjoy going out and getting out in the field and putting my headphones in and, grinding out there.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you mentioned, and I thought it was interesting, I heard what you said, is that, we have a job bidding class, and I get a lot of new startup cleaning services, for that bidding class. And one of the things I always tell them is in the spreadsheet, is to always make sure that they allow for a supervisor cost in their bidding. And they look at me like, well, I'm just by myself. And I'm like, But, you know, at a point, you're going to have supervisors. You've got to pay them. Did you forget that lesson, or did you have to learn that one too?
Somewhat. So we did have a lot of accounts in the beginning that we absolutely underbid. And I would say that's like learning from your mistakes. You as you grow, you learn, you realize that you need to adjust for those things, just like supervision in your accounts. And absolutely, I think a lot of people starting up made mistakes in pricing, as did we. I wish I knew about that class. I don't know if you guys taught it back then, but I think anybody starting out in this business should 100% take a class on bidding and estimating, because that's the most important thing after getting the appointments.
Well, yes, we have been doing it for 7 years, Joshua.
I wish I knew about it. I missed out on that one, but I definitely learned through the times on how to properly bid and go through all that.
And I still teach it today, by the way, just to let you know. And I just updated a little bit more things. Because, the thing is with this podcast, we've been able to reach a number of different people. Mm-hmm. And so I ran across a couple of guys, and Rocky, he's a great guy. And I have him come in and zoom in on the class so that he can kind of teach you some things about making profit and the difference between making money and making profit.
Yeah, absolutely. And anybody listening to this that is just starting out, I would absolutely recommend taking that class. It's the starting point for your business, really, is learning how to bid an estimate. If you make a lot of mistakes, you can really screw yourself.
Yeah, and I think, one of the things that I talk with different services that have not gotten to that 5-year mark or not quite grown to your point, I still tell them it's never too late to learn something new, even though you may know most of it. If you can pick up a tidbit here and there, it may be well worth it.
Oh, absolutely. No matter where you're at, there's always more to learn. I'm always open to learn more things. I don't know everything. I don't even know close to everything. So there's always, no matter what point you're at in your business, you should always be willing to learn more.
So you said you do mainly janitorial. Is there one of those disciplines in janitorial that's kind of your cup of tea, if you will?
As far as like what type of offices we service, or?
Well, that's one of the interesting things, yes. But I was also thinking of, restrooms, or is it carpet, or is it, infection prevention, hard floors? Is there one certain thing like that that really gets your juices going?
We love carpet cleaning. That's one big thing in the janitorial that we really like to do. We do all types of floor care, upholstery cleaning, but to me, carpet cleaning is our number one thing aside from general office cleaning.
And so what, do you have a certain process you like then?
We do a lot of low moisture encapsulation, VLM cleaning. That's pretty much, I'd say, 90% of what we do. We try to avoid doing hot water extraction unless it's absolutely necessary. But for us, in a typical general office space, most of the accounts we service, VLM is 100% perfect for the environment.
I gotta tell you, I love the way you're talking, Joshua. I hate water extraction.
Oh, I mean, we try to avoid it like the plague. I love VLM, and we have a lot of customers. Sometimes, not a lot, but sometimes we have customers. Like, for example, we have a school that we started about a year and a half ago. And they said, oh, we've had somebody come in and do the encapsulation cleaning. We weren't very happy with it. We don't want that. We only want hot water extraction done. I said, let us do the job with the method we want to do. If you're not happy with it, we'll come back around and do it with extraction, no charge. And what do you know? They love it. They said, this is the best that our carpet's ever come out. So it's not the method, it's how you do it.
Well, and Josh, this is exactly what we were talking about earlier here. It's about the people. It's, if they do the job right.
Yep, absolutely.
And this goes back to skills training.
Definitely. And we've made a lot of mistakes like that too. Our first carpet job we had was a accounting office when we first started the business. Didn't even have a carpet cleaning machine yet. Had no idea what we were doing. We went out and bought a 100 PSI carpet extractor.
Oh my.
I think we put the chemical into the machine instead of pre-spraying and rinsing. So we just, it was a disaster. And after that, did a lot of digging and research and came across the different methods and different ways to do things and learned from our mistake. We underpriced that job, which they probably shouldn't have paid anything, but I think we only did like, we charged like $100 and it took us 4 hours. So we basically did it for free. And things like those are great lessons to learn from your mistakes and just excel from there. You do something wrong, you go back to the drawing boards, you figure out the right way to do it. But my biggest takeaway from that is don't experiment on your customers' flooring. Take a class, learn how to do it before you take the job. Don't learn from a Facebook group. YouTube, yeah, you can learn some good things on YouTube, but there's nothing like hands-on doing it and learning in person.
No, I tell people I got 600 videos on YouTube. Now, every one of them's absolutely perfect. You're supposed to follow everyone to the letter of the law, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and thing is, as much as we struggle to make our videos here at the Academy as up to date and as you know,
you guys have some great videos too. I've watched a lot of your videos.
Yeah, but even at that, Joshua, I look at back at some of the ones that I did back and I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to take that down. That's so wrong. Because we all learn. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely. You learn better processes, what works best for you, how to cut time and without cutting corners, and how to get things done more efficiently.
Hey, I can't tell you how many carpets I've cleaned in my career over 50 years that I put the chemical in the extractor because that's what everybody taught us to do.
Yeah, and it looks great. You see it right there after you're done it. You think it looks good, and then when it dries, it looks the same as it did when you walked in.
or worse, because you stirred it all up and brought it back to the surface.
Yep, and then you have that high pH cleaner on the floor that's attracting more dirt.
You got it. And I think that's the thing is whenever you talk carpet, Josh, most people don't realize that our carpet that we're working with today that's going down now is a different generation of carpet. We don't clean it the way we used to. Most of it, if you are going to use water, you're just simply rinsing. You're not actually cleaning it with cleaners anymore.
Yep, absolutely. And for us, I mean, I think VLM is great. Maybe 20 years ago, it might have not been as good, but today's technology and today's chemicals and equipment has made it that we get the same or better results than people get with hot water extraction.
Now, I'm just going to show you, folks, if you are watching the video of this podcast, you're actually seeing Sawgrass cleaning services come up here. So you can go there. Josh and I was talking about this before we got on the air. There's all of the information there that you can go and find out if you're in South Florida, all of the information here. Josh, you know, as I look at this, getting a quote, it has it on here where you can get a quote, but do you go out and do the quote, or is this one of these things where you just give some information on there and it pops up and gives you something?
No, we always go out and do a quote. There's no building is the same. And there's the only way to give an accurate quote in this industry is to physically go out, see what you're quoting, talk to the client, see exactly what they need, and put together a proposal from there.
I agree with you. I like what you said because, you know, some of these, I see it, they just, it's simply by the square foot. You tell us, I want janitorial, and they pop up a figure per square foot. I'm like, that's not a way to run a profitable business.
Yeah, it's tough because is it all carpet? Is it all tile? Do they want the desks wiped every night? Do they want them wiped once a week? Do they never want them wiped? All that stuff you have to take into consideration to figure out how long it's going to take to clean the office and what your production rate is to be able to give a price that is fair for you and the client.
So, hey, folks, if you're down in South Florida, Josh is going to come out or somebody else. I'm not sure you do all of them by yourself.
Right now, I still do all the estimates myself.
Okay, so, you're going to get Josh knocking on your door, sending the information right here. Here's the address. If you're just listening to the podcast, we'll have it down in the show notes down below where you can get hold of Josh. You can go to the website. You can get the information there, find out all about him. You know, the thing is, when I talk to people, Josh, it's like, do you plan to be in this the rest of your life? You're a young guy yet.
We'll see where it takes me. I mean, that's a tough question to answer. I enjoy the industry. I love what I do. You never know what opportunities are going to come around. It's hard to answer that question.
Now, how many people, when you decided to jump into the cleaning business as an entrepreneur. How many people said, are you kidding?
I would say a few. I had a lot of friends that thought I was a little crazy and say, what are you going to go out and clean toilets? I said, yeah. And like I said, the first few years, I did everything myself. I did all the estimating, marketing. I went out and did all the work. I was going out five nights a week at night, all day during the weekends. I grinded out and cleaned a lot of accounts myself. And one thing I do have to say also, if you're starting up, is if you expect to do everything yourself, it's very hard to grow. I grew the most once I stopped cleaning. Once I was able to get out of the field, which I still go out and clean every once in a while if I have to, and I don't mind doing it. But when I was working all night cleaning and trying to get business during the day, you burn out. It's tough. And when you get out of the field and you focus on growing your business, you'll see night and day the change that it makes and how much more you'll grow not doing the actual work.
Well, you know what? I usually ask somebody for a closing statement, but I just think you gave it to us. I think that's perfect because you know what? I think every entrepreneur in the cleaning industry will tell you that same thing.
Yep, absolutely. And it's great. I think that you should be out there in the beginning, do it yourself, figure out how long it takes to do different things, figure out the best process. And like, my employees don't do anything I wouldn't do myself. So anything that they do, I've been there, I've done it, and I still do it from time to time.
So before I let you go, Josh, I got two questions for you. Where were you born?
I was born in Coral Springs, Florida.
Well, hey, you're not too far from where you were born then.
No, about 35 minutes from where I was born. Didn't make too far yet.
So you know the area well.
Yep, very well.
Okay, so 24 is coming up here pretty soon. You know, I know we're in October now, but 24 is just around the corner. So for you personally, not business-wise, but personally, what's on your bucket list for next year?
I haven't thought of personally yet. That's tough.
See, that's kind of why I ask it, because everybody thinks about business when they're an entrepreneur, but I'm like, hey, we do things more than just clean. We got another life too.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say I'd like to try to travel more. I have a 15-month baby. So the past year, we haven't done too much traveling, been at home a lot. And I would say for next year, I'd like to explore more with the family, go to different places, experience different things, and kind of try to enjoy my life while also focusing on building the business.
Boy or girl?
Boy.
So maybe your new son is going to get to go to Trinidad next year.
Yeah, that would be a fun trip. Absolutely.
Hey, folks. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast or you're watching it, you're just going to have to check back and find out, get in touch with Joshua. In the show notes below, we'll have the website, his LinkedIn address. We'll get all that in there. So please go and check him out. Check Sawgrass out down there in South Florida. Josh, thanks for contacting with me. We stay in touch on LinkedIn. Hey, also, you said you watched the videos. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having me on here. Maybe I'll make it to that class at the end of this month. And if not that one, maybe the next one, because I'd love to learn about stone. And I think
Care class every month.
Awesome. That's good to know.
So, folks, there's a reason I asked the two questions I did right there. We know where Josh started. He started his life down there in South Florida. We know where he's at right now. He's still in South Florida, but he's got a connection out there in the islands. We don't know exactly what's going to happen in his journey to life, but we ask you this. Make sure that whatever on your journey, make sure that it's healthy, positive, and proactive. Till next time, make sure you're safe out there.